Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, July 8th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
As coronavirus infections surge, the government ramps up testing across the South.
The Trump administration gives notice to the UN saying it's quitting the World Health Organization.
And the White House takes aim at Hong Kong with a push to undermine the city's currency.
Long Island begins phase four of reopening today. Plus, President Trump pushes for schools to reopen in the fall. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Ryder Cup has been postponed, and another net won't be part of the NBA restart.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are little change to lower this morning. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're down 3.5 points now. Dow futures down 55. NASDAQ futures higher, they're up 3. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. CAC in Paris down 1%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.64%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 16 cents at $40.46 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $3.50 at $18.13.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1274 against the dollar. The yen at 107.56. Nathan.
Karen, we're seeing daily coronavirus infections across the country slow a bit. Yesterday saw cases rise by the same rate as last week, though increases in the South remain stronger. Dan Gelber is mayor of Miami Beach.
This is real, and I think everybody needs to understand that, because if they did, they would know what to do. They would wear masks. They would socially distance themselves. They would take precautions that every doctor I know tells them they should take.
Florida's positive test rate jumped above 16%, the highest level on record. In Texas, new cases hit 10,000 for the first time. Arizona recorded the most deaths since the outbreak began. That has Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego worried about hospital capacity.
We are worried that the system that is already in crisis will only get more crowded.
For the fourth straight day, new infections in the U.S. topped 50,000. That has the federal government ramping up testing in Texas, Louisiana, and Florida. Officials will open 8 new testing sites to get a firmer grasp on how the pandemic is evolving.
Officials at the White House are speaking out on the pandemic. Members of the Trump administration talked to Bloomberg Radio about the outbreak, including response coordinator Deborah Burke. She's praising governors who mandate masks in their states.
I want to really applaud the governors who've taken decisive action to really mandate masks, increase social distancing, close bars.
The praise from Dr. Birx comes despite President Trump's resistance to masks. She says action on the local level has the power to change the course of the pandemic.
At the same time, the outbreak has exposed U.S. reliance on overseas drug manufacturing. Health Secretary Alex Azar tells us the president is considering decisive action to change that.
So it might mean that we have to use our powers under the Defense Production Act or otherwise to fund and incentivize domestic manufacturing.
The U.S. drug industry is largely dependent on overseas manufacturers, especially China. Under the Defense Production Act, the president could order businesses to prioritize federal needs.
When it comes to the outbreak in the South, the chief of staff to Vice President Mike Pence is ruling out another lockdown.
We can make sure that America stays open and stays healthy. And I think that one of the things we've learned through this is there's also an enormous health consequence to shutting down the economy, whether or not that's a financial pain or whether or not that's a psychological pain.
Mark Short tells us the White House wants another stimulus package by early August, but it also wants to keep the cost below $1 trillion.
I think we want to make sure that that people that are still unemployed are hurting or protected, but at the same time, we want to take into consideration the fact the economy is bouncing back and want to try to contain the amount of spending.
The White House wants a package to include a payroll tax cut, tax incentives for businesses, and a one-time bonus for Americans returning to work.
Well, meantime, the administration's frustration with the World Health Organization and its handling of the virus is coming to a head. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, with total infections in the U.S. approaching 3 million, the White House says it's withdrawing from the WHO. It delivered a required one-year notice to the U.N. Secretary General. President Trump has said the WHO has a pro-China bias. The withdrawal notice was met with criticism by Lamar Alexander, the Republican chairman of the Senate Health Committee. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. The White House is also taking aim at Hong Kong to punish China for its new national security law in the city. Sources tell us advisors want to undermine the Hong Kong dollar's peg to the U.S. dollar. We get more from Bloomberg national security reporter Bill Ferries.
There are some senior officials on Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State staff, who are putting forward a range of options that would be pretty disruptive and pretty extreme by historical accounts. Now, it's still a question about whether this will get to the president's desk or whether Pompeo will accept them and end up in some sort of a debate with other cabinet members about whether to go through with them.
The main proposal being considered would limit the ability of banks in Hong Kong to buy U.S. dollars. However, some in the administration worry that would only hurt Hong Kong banks and the U.S., not China.
And on the corporate front, Facebook has wrapped up its meeting with civil rights organizations, and it did not go well. Here with details is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The Coalition of NAACP, Color of Change, and the Anti-Defamation League say they are very disappointed. Jonathan Greenblatt, CEO of the Anti-Defamation League, says nothing from Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg.
They talked about the neutrality of the platforms, but you can't be neutral on extremism or hate. We expect the company to have a zero-tolerance policy on intolerance, just like every other company in America. And today, that's not what we have.
A group says Facebook approached the meeting as a PR exercise. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. S&P futures are down about 5 points this morning. Dow futures down 65. NASDAQ futures up 1.5. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 0.64%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3% at $40.50 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world, including the regional response to the pandemic. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Long Island enters phase four of reopening today from the coronavirus lockdown. It means more tourist attractions can open. However, Nassau County Executive Laura Curran says that 15% to 25% of the county's positive test results over the past 3 weeks are people from out of state. New Jersey's virus transmission rate rose again to 1.05. According to Governor Phil Murphy's office, it is the highest in about 10 weeks. The rate was 1.03 on Monday, the first time since mid-March it had a rate where each case is causing at least one other new infection. President Trump launched an all-out effort pressing state and local officials to reopen schools this fall, arguing that some are keeping schools closed not because of the risks from the coronavirus, but for political reasons.
We're very much going to put pressure on governors and everybody else to open the schools, to get them open.
However, the president of the nation's largest education union said Trump is more interested in scoring points for the November election than in keeping students safe. Brazil's President Jair Bolsonaro says he is confident that he will swiftly recover from the novel coronavirus thanks to treatment with hydroxychloroquine. The anti-malaria drug has not been proven effective against COVID-19. Bolsonaro said he tested positive for the virus. President Trump is hosting Mexico's president at the White House during a socially distant dinner featuring business executives from both countries. Bloomberg's Amy Morris reports from Washington.
The Wednesday night event will be the closest thing to a state dinner that can be organized during the COVID-19 pandemic. Sources tell Bloomberg News guests will include some 20 executives representing a variety of industries to mark the launch of the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade pact replacing NAFTA. Mexico's President Andrés Manuel López Obrador will attend the dinner. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau will not. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Joe Biden won yesterday's Democratic presidential primary in New Jersey. New Jersey Democrats picked educator Amy Kennedy to challenge Republican Representative Jeff Van Drew in November. Van Drew switched parties from Democrat to the GOP during his term. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashiron.
Thanks, Nathan. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, not blind to what's going on with the coronavirus, admits the more cases he hears about, the more worried he is about the NBA's plan to restart the season in Orlando. The Nets among the 22 teams who will be there by tomorrow. But who's left to play for Brooklyn? No Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, and three players who were starting when the season was stopped are out. Wilson Chandler, DeAndre Jordan, and now Spencer Dinwiddie, who was having an all-star caliber season. He tested positive for the virus. He hasn't recovered. Doctors advised Dinwiddie not to play. The Nets will battle Orlando and Washington for two playoff spots. The Wizards won't have their best player, Bradley Beal. He's got a shoulder injury. Aaron Judge had a rib injury. He says not anymore.
Like I told you guys in spring training, I was going to be ready for opening day. So now I'm feeling good. I'm not really... You know, the biggest thing now is just getting the reps in, you know, because I missed so many at-bats in the spring training we had. I didn't get all the reps in the outfield, reps on the bases. So for me right now, it's just about getting my timing back in the game and just getting my game rest so we can, you know, go out there for the 60 games. The
Yankees had an intra-squad game yesterday. Gerrit Cole pitched well. They're going to play three exhibition games, two against the Mets. And speaking of the Yanks playing the Mets in 2021, when fans will presumably be back, there will be a Met-Yankee game at Citi Field on September 11th, 20 years after. Latest sports event to be canceled, the Ryder Cup. It loses a lot without fans. It was to be in September in Wisconsin. Instead, it'll be next year, same week, same site. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
And John, European soccer clubs expect to lose $4.5 billion in revenue over the next year because of the coronavirus. That's according to a study by the European Club Association. The outbreak has affected broadcasting deals around the world, forcing games to be played with few or no fans in stadiums, and that is hurting club revenue. S&P futures lower by 3 points. Dow futures down 55. NASDAQ futures up 5 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are moving lower along with S&P futures as investors wait prospects for the economy to recover during the pandemic. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're down about 2 points. Dow futures down 44. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 0.64%, and the yield on the 2-year is 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.25% or 10 cents at $40.52 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $3.70 at $18.13.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1273 against the dollar. British pound 1.2531 and the yen's at 107.54. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, hospitals are being pushed to the brink fighting the coronavirus outbreak. A new model from the University of Washington warns 200,000 Americans could die from coronavirus before Christmas. It comes as President Trump is launching an all-out effort to open schools in the fall. We're learning that Chief Justice John Roberts was hospitalized last month for an injury he suffered to his forehead after falling while walking for exercise. Supreme Court spokeswoman Kathy Arberg says Roberts' doctors believe the fall was due to lightheadedness caused by dehydration and have ruled out a seizure. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and as we continue to track the surge in coronavirus cases in the Sun Belt, we welcome back Andy Pekosch, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Obviously, this surge in places like Florida, California, and Texas has been a concern for quite some time, Dr. Pekosch, although we have seen a few days straight where the increase in infections has been below the previous 7-day average. What does that tell you about how this pandemic is spreading at this point?
Well, you know, right now in many places across the South, the number of cases that we have are simply too high to be able to control with most of our standard measures. I think implementing more stringent measures for the short term is probably going to be a necessary option to get those cases down even lower. Plateauing of cases is great thing to see. But I would also remind everybody that we see the hospitalizations and the deaths on a delay after you see the total cases, because it takes so much time to see those more severe effects of the infection. So that's a good trend to see, but I am a little bit worried about what's going to happen over the next week or two in terms of some of the more severe cases.
All right. When you talk about more stringent restrictions, what are you pointing to specifically? Because we've had a number of cities, particularly in South Florida, that have been dialing back their reopenings, closing indoor dining in restaurants, putting beaches on hold. What more needs to be done?
Well, you know, all of those things need to be done at a very efficient manner. It needs to be widespread. And I think the general public also needs to really be reminded to take their personal social distancing, mask wearing, much more seriously. Many countries around the world and many states here in the U.S. have been able to not just flatten the curve but pin it down at a low level using this approach of dropping the number of cases based on large-scale public health interventions, and then keeping in place those individual social distancing measures and mask wearing so that the case number never really creeps up to a level that's really stressing our medical institutions. Sure. So this is something that we can do this. It just has to be done efficiently at the local level.
You know, it's interesting that we've noticed over the last month or so that the issue of social distancing and wearing masks has become increasingly politicized. How concerned are you about that in terms of getting this infection under control?
No, I mean, it's incredibly concerning because everything starts at the individual level. Making sure that you're physically distancing, wearing face masks, putting in multiple things that are keeping you protected from spreading the disease to others or obtaining the disease is really critical. And it's clear from the data that wearing a mask, keeping that 6-foot distance from people, avoiding areas that have large crowds, those are simple things that when done effectively by individuals drastically limit the spread of this virus, and we need more of that to be happening right now.
Is there a risk that the idea of a mask mandate could backfire because the issue has become so politicized? And how do you get around that if that is an issue?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's no doubt that there's a little bit of fatigue when it comes to this, because this is a disease that takes a long time to work through the systems, as I mentioned before. It takes up to a week before people can show symptoms. It takes another week or so before they develop severe symptoms. And then the hospitalizations and the deaths come up a little bit after that. So it takes a while for public health interventions to really make an impact on all of these ways that we monitor infections. All I can say is that there are examples out there of people who have, of countries who have done this, pinned levels down to a level, case numbers down to a low level, and then been able to sort of open up the economy and restore some semblance of normalcy to people's lives. But we're not at a level in many places across the South of the U.S. Where we can do that.
Now, the U.S. is planning to ramp up testing specifically in Louisiana, Texas, and Florida. Will that kind of focused testing be enough to give us an idea of how this virus is developing?
It's good to make sure that you're putting the resources in the right places and trying to fine-tune these public health interventions to the quote-unquote hotspots of infection that are occurring. So that's a good thing. But testing has to be combined with contact tracing to make sure that you can limit these cases and limit the spread of the virus. So, again, there's no one panacea to this pandemic. It's a combination of different public health interventions that will help us effectively identify cases, limit spread, and then keep these numbers of cases down to a reasonable level.
It's always so helpful getting your insights, Professor. Thanks, as always, for being with us this morning. Professor Andy Pekosh is an expert on molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. And as always, get the very latest on the pandemic at Bloomberg.com/coronavirus or VRUSGO. Just type in that function on your Bloomberg terminal. S&P futures lower by 3 points right now. This is Bloomberg. And now it's 6:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. S&P futures are lower this morning as we see daily coronavirus infections across the country slow a bit. Yesterday saw cases rise by the same rate as last week, though increases in the South remain stronger. Miami Beach Mayor Dan Gelber is frustrated by his state's response.
I sort of feel like everybody's become the mayor in Jaws, where, you know, it's fine, the water's fine, just go on and swim. And that's not healthy right now because people need to know the challenge so they know what to do about it.
Florida's positive test rate jumped above 16%. That's the highest level on record. In Texas, new cases hit 10,000 for the first time, and Arizona recorded the most deaths since the outbreak began. Kate Gallego is the mayor of Phoenix.
It has been so hard to see the numbers skyrocket and know that if we'd done things like not allow crowded nightclubs, we could have saved lives.
For the fourth straight day, new infections in the U.S. topped 50,000. That has the federal government ramping up testing in Texas, Louisiana, and Florida. Officials will open 8 new testing sites to get a firmer grasp on how the pandemic is evolving.
Meantime, the administration's frustration with the World Health Organization and its handling of the virus is coming to a head. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John, good morning.
And Karen, the White House has given notice to the UN that it plans to exit the WHO. President Trump has said the organization shows undue deference to China. Critics say the move is aimed at distracting voters from his failure to control the virus. Among those opposed to the move is the head of the Senate Health Committee, Republican Lamar Alexander. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And the White House is also taking aim at Hong Kong. Sources tell us advisors want to undermine the Hong Kong dollar's peg to the U.S. dollar, but traders are doubtful the threat will materialize. We get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
One trader called it a wacky idea, one that has been spectacularly unsuccessful in the past, and the Hong Kong dollar has been steady all day at the strong end of its trading range. The idea is that breaking the peg would punish China for imposing a national security law on Hong Kong. But it wouldn't be easy, and there are several reasons why the market is yawning at the idea. Hong Kong has nearly $500 billion of reserves, and there's something like $5 trillion U.S. dollars deposited in Hong Kong banks. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis. Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. And S&P futures again lower, down about 3 points this morning. Dow futures down 48. NASDAQ futures up 13. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32. Yield 0.64%. And the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Long Island enters Phase 4, reopening today from the coronavirus lockdown. It means more tourist attractions can open, including museums and aquariums. Malls will remain closed. Nassau County Executive Laura Curran says that 15% to 25% of the county's positive test results over the past 3 weeks are people from out of state. New Jersey's virus transmission rate rose again to 1.05. According to Governor Phil Murphy's office, it is the highest in about 10 weeks. The rate was 1.03 on Monday, the first time since mid-March it had a rate where each case is causing at least one other new infection. President Donald Trump is pressing state and local officials to reopen schools this fall, arguing that some are keeping schools closed for political reasons.
It's very important. It's very important for our country. It's very important for the well-being of the student and the parents So we're going to be putting a lot of pressure on open your schools in the fall.
The White House's roundtable gathered health and education leaders from across the nation who said schools and colleges are ready to open in the fall, and they can do so safely. They argued students need access to meal programs and mental health behavioral health services. San Francisco Mayor London Breed has announced a new pause in reopening. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The reopening of dine-in restaurants has been widely anticipated in the city that likes to laud its culinary expertise.
On July 13th, we will not be able to allow restaurants to operate indoors as we had planned, nor will we be able to allow bars to open outdoors.
Breed says they will continually analyze the numbers, though. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump's niece, Mary Trump, offers a scathing portrayal of her uncle in a new book. Trump's estranged niece paints a portrait of a man trained in deception with a distant and dysfunctional father. She also accuses the president of cheating on his SATs. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany rejected the book's claims.
It's ridiculous, absurd allegations that have absolute no bearing in truth. Have yet to see the book, but it is a book of falsehoods.
Other members of the Trump family had attempted to prevent the book's publication, citing a non-disclosure agreement she signed during a dispute over her grandfather's will. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Tank, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here again, John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. Yesterday, a day of sports figures criticized for statements and messages. DeSean Jackson of the Philadelphia Eagles made anti-Semitic posts, later said they were taken the wrong way, but former NBA player Steven Jackson, no relation, supported him. Longtime umpire Joe West claimed that coronavirus death totals are inaccurate. And Kelly Loeffler, who owns the WNBA team in Atlanta, is against players having Black Lives Matter on their uniform. She wants the American flag. The Players Association wants her removed from the league. The San Francisco Giants, latest baseball team to have to halt workouts because they haven't gotten back COVID tests. Baseball now seeking an additional medical lab to speed up results. The one they're using now, the tests have to go to Utah. While some baseball players have chosen not to play this shortened season, Mets slugger Pete Alonso hardly among them.
I'm so amped up, and I'm so excited to play. And I know that not only us and the organization is excited to play, but I know that there's a ton of people around the country, around the world, that are excited to have baseball back. And it's awesome.
Mets and Yankees are going to play exhibition games July 18th and 19th, and it's been learned that next season, on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, there'll be a Met-Yankee game at Citi Field. The Nets' Spencer Dinwiddie was having an all-star caliber season, averaging 21 points a game, but he has the virus, and he won't be part of the NBA restart. The third Net to opt out. The Ryder Cup has been postponed until 2021. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Now to some other stories we're following. Facebook has wrapped up its meeting with civil rights organizations. The meeting with members of the NAACP, the Anti-Defamation League, and Color of Change did not go well. One group called it nothing more than a PR exercise. Alex Webb covers Facebook for Bloomberg Opinion.
You know, Mark Zuckerberg, following his usual playbook, basically just hunkers down and hopes that it all blows over. It's overlooking the hugely detrimental effect that they have to the social fabric, with a lot of the posts that go on without any sort of moderation and can be destructive to people's mental state.
The group say Facebook executives would not commit to a timeline to remove disinformation and hate speech from the social network. The president of Color of Change calls the meeting a disappointment. As the coronavirus pandemic hits the U.S. economy hard, Federal Reserve Vice Chair Richard Clarida says the central bank will do more if needed, and we get that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Clarida said the central bank will likely turn to additional forward guidance and asset purchases if it needs to do more to support the U.S. economic recovery. Speaking on CNN International, Clarida said we have a lot of accommodation in place. There is more that we can do. There is more that we will do
if we need to. In terms of extra tools, he cited, quote, additional forms of forward guidance that the Fed has used in the past and we would consider using in the future, as well as noting current Fed purchases of treasuries and mortgages to support market functioning. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Coming up today on the economic front, we get data on consumer credit at 3 p.m. Wall Street time. Economists predict a drop for the third month in a row. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Deljudice.
The report tracks a variety of sectors, from auto loans to credit cards and student loans, and has traced a familiar path. In April, consumer credit dropped by a historic $68.8 billion, the largest decline in data going back to 1943, as Americans sheltered at home and businesses shut down. That's even with households shifting to e-commerce to purchase necessities. Vinny Deljudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. As the pandemic hits consumer spending, the owner of Mall Brands, occupying almost 3,000 stores, is planning a bankruptcy filing. Bloomberg News has learned that Ascena Retail Group will close at least 1,200 locations. Ascena owns brands like Ann Taylor and Lane Bryant. Lenders, including Eaton Vance, would take control of the company. The parent of mortgage giant Quicken Loans has filed for an IPO. Rocket Company says it's made a profit the last 3 years and describes itself as the largest retail mortgage lender in the U.S. Rocket was founded by billionaire Dan Gilbert. And many Americans plan to spend less than before the pandemic. More than 40% of adults tell a survey from creditcards.com they plan to cut back on discretionary spending. A decrease could threaten to slow the economic recovery from COVID-19. Futures mixed at the moment. Little change to S&P futures. Dow futures are down 21 points. NASDAQ futures are higher by 22. DAX in Germany down 0.6%. The CAC in Paris is lower by 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield just shy of 0.65%. The 2-year yield is at 0.15%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.